live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, of course, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for June 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. And yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, the great solution to restore the republic. We want a peaceful effort to make America great again. We don't stand for revolution. We stand against a revolution, but we do stand for the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It's not because we, as people, are perfect. It's because we understand that it's all about God, family, and country. It's all about the understanding of protecting life, liberty, and property. It's the principles that make America great and the willingness that we have as the American people to adhere to those principles. Sadly, we've backslid quite a bit, to use a Christian term, but we're coming back. One heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Welcome to the broadcast, LibertyRoundtable.com, the website. LibertyNewsRadio.com, our radio network syndicator. LibertyNewsDaily.com, one of our favorite and co-owned news services. And let's start out with a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. A lot of hard-hitting news, of course. We talked about 24% of Americans don't even have a single dollar saved for emergencies. Wow. 50% of Americans couldn't handle a big emergency either. Republican Karen Handel defeats John Ossoff in the Georgia district in their special election there. Since Tom Price headed to Washington with the Donald. Now, who is Karen Handel? Well, you don't know much about her, but she moved to Georgia because her husband got a job there in the 90s. She's really from, like, up north. And the bottom line is she's been in government and private sector circles for a long time. And she kept her distance from the Donald while running for office. But yet she received $12 million for her campaign from political groups. So she's really an inside political hack, folks. A lot better than the others, maybe. But will she really be a government outsider and stand for liberty and shut down government agencies to restore the proper role of government like you and I would? Not even close. Yeah. So she probably owes her win to the insiders that helped her win. All right. Mexico accused of spying on journalists and activists using cell phone malware. They're catching up to the United States down there in Mexico quickly, aren't they? We also talked about a radio station, WTPA, and a radio host. The guy's name is Bruce Bond, quit. Yeah. The Velvet Hammer came down on the talk show host. They said, hey, quit criticizing the Donald. He said, well, I want to speak about what I want to say. I want to do. No. So they shut him down, and he decided, I'm going to quit. You're not going to muzzle me. Bruce, you ought to call us if you want syndication, brother. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com for more details. Anyway, interesting, huh, Bruce? Not that I'm really interested in hiring people that would criticize the Donald, but I am interested in people with free speech rights, you know? All right, the Pentagon wasted $28 million on Afghanistan uniforms, USA Today writes. $28 million. We're just wasting government money everywhere. Donald promised the sea change, but I haven't seen it in 6 months of his election. I also haven't seen it since the Republicans gained greater control. Have you seen the sea change in the reduction of government waste? Why don't they let Sam Bushman comb through the budget and start shutting things down, huh? All right, independent group releases a new report on the Seth Rich murder. Yeah, WJLA, a radio station, had the pay dirt on this. They basically say that a hardened killer killed Seth Rich. This was no accident. This was no robbery gone botch, gone wrong. This is a hardened killer that murdered Seth. I hope we can dig into the details more, and I hope we can see the light on Seth Rich. The only people willing to report on it that I see, really, hardcore, is WND.com and Liberty Roundtable Live. Do you know anybody else talking about this? Every move in the case to the best of our ability? All right, we're going to keep it up. We hope to expose whoever's involved in that horrific murder. Now, look. Seth isn't my friend. He was a part of the DNC. He's a part of the Democratic organization. very liberal guy. Kind of a Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton kind of a guy. Not really my friend, but you know what? I'm for the truth. I don't care if I disagree with Seth or not on anything. The fact is he had every right to report. Was he really the WikiLeaks guy? Was it really Seth, not the Russians? If that's true, it ought to be exposed. Why isn't the Donald wanting to investigate that? But nothing but crickets. As the new term people are using when they say it's just quiet as all get out. Nobody's doing anything. We're going to keep an eye on that ball just for you. All right, I guess in Atlanta, there were six inmates hanging out with a police officer, and, well, they were working outside and got so hot and so humid, the poor police officer just passed out. Yeah, he was unconscious. Believe it or not, they could have taken his gun, they could have shot him, they could have took off, they could have bust forth for freedom. The six inmates did no such thing. They actually stopped and said, hey, man, one of our guys are down. They literally revived the police officer. They took his bulletproof vest and his gun away from him and set it down. They called 911, and they helped revive the cops. Good for the inmates, folks. And this just goes to show you there's more good people around, even folks that may be in jail. Bottom line is, they were rewarded with an incredible luncheon. And they had a lunch, a picnic to say thank you. And the best part is, I guess their sentences are going to be reduced by 25% is the latest I've heard on the case. That's phenomenal news on all sides for everybody. All right, I guess a Texas couple got exonerated 25 years after being convicted of crimes that, quote, never happened. That's good news as well. Not that they had to serve 25 years, but somebody came to their senses. It's good news for sure. Our prayers are with the elderly couple now. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2 brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, please consider GiveMeLibertyFund.com. And on there, one of the Patriot businesses that can help you with incredible deals, Patriot Printing. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn more, 801-669-2211, or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. All right, we talked about this Neil Ratcliffe. He's being appointed to be the Assistant Secretary of Community Planning and Development over in Ben Carson's area, the HUD. They're trying to promote this agenda with the AFFH. They want to further the fair housing rulings there. Bottom line is it smacks of Agenda 2030. It's bad news. Don't let Ben take on a guy like this. It's the Donald promoting more and more and more swamp critters to strategic positions. I don't know what Donald's doing, but if he's doing it ignorantly, we need to warn him. If he's doing it on purpose, we're being sold south. Don't know which it is yet, folks. Time will tell. I've been warning you for a long time, though. We'll keep an eye on the ball. We talked about this incredible, the guy's hands, I guess it's called Hansville, Alabama. Kenneth Mayer is the, what is this? What's this guy's name? M-A-Y-R. Okay, the guy's name is Kenneth Nail. Sorry about that, folks. All right, his name is Kenneth Nail, and he's the mayor of this place called Hansville, Alabama. And he's basically telling the folks down there in New Orleans, you know, the statues they tore down that they say are, you know, politically incorrect or white supremacist backed or whatever. This mayor, Kenneth Nail, in Alabama said, hey, man, send all those monuments up to us. We'll put them up, celebrate them, and we'll send our black friends on down there to pick them up, and we'll just realize that this isn't about racism or white supremacy. This is about our history and fighting for America and fighting for freedom. And thank heavens we got rid of slavery. Thank heavens America really believes in the Declaration of Independence viewpoint of all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. And this is a celebration of that, says the Alabama mayor. Good for him. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you as well. Hopefully he can get those monuments and set them up. Ford plans to sell cars to the United States after moving production to the communist nation of China. Donald talked big on the election trail about shutting that down, putting tariffs on cars from Mexico and China. But now, nothing but crickets as Donald doesn't say a single word. Problems at two polling locations in the Karen Handel's special election. Literally, they were forced to go back to paper ballots, folks. That's the good news. They do know what the solutions are. but they don't embrace them because it's too hard to commit vote fraud when they're on paper ballots. Now James Comey and the FBI are sued for obstruction of justice. WorldNet Daily reports it. Larry Klayman over at Freedom Watch brings out the lawsuit. Good for Larry. We'll keep an eye on that ball for you. Comey and the FBI certainly needs to be sued. Donald did the right thing in firing Comey, but Donald needs to now just flat out shut down the unconstitutional rogue agents known as the FBI. They've been weaponized against the Donald, and it's got to stop. All right, why do 60 million Americans have no bank account? It's not what you think. Well, people are just sick of the banks, that's why. All right, we'll talk about Republican candidate Ralph Norman wins House seat, replaces Mick Mulvaney, or whatever that guy's name is, as well.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
By the way, there's two big Republican races. One was the Karen Handel race, which you heard plenty about, more than you probably wanted to. Then Republican candidate Ralph Norman wins House seat. He replaces Mick Mulvaney, or however you say the guy's name. Right? Remember, Nick resigned to jump into the Trump administration as well, but how come you heard everything about Karen and not about Ralph? It all has to do with money, and it all has to do with who they really want to back and promote, right? CNN Trump hater. I guess the polls have shocking results, writes Chelsea Schilling at WND. Turns out that CNN had a big old poll about who hates the Donald, and, well, didn't turn out like CNN wanted to promote the propaganda, so they shut the poll down, didn't really report it. All right, they didn't really shut the poll down. They just ignored their own poll. Sean Hannity, actually, back in the day when he was against Ron Paul, literally shut down his own poll. Talked up how important the poll was when he thought that it was going to go bad for Ron Paul. And then when it went great for Ron Paul and bad for Fox at the time, Sean shut it down, said, the polls don't even matter. It's a bunch of crazy bots meddling with the numbers. Now, CNN, guilty of the same thing. Their agenda and their fake news is beyond imagination. But Donald and the mainstream Republicans keep going to the fake news for their answers instead of the new media taking center stage. Why is that? Because they really love to complain about the fake news. They love to complain about the news that's supposedly liberal and extreme, but that's really their bedfellows. You can say what you want. That's where they go to make news. They don't go to us like they ought to. In fact, they won't even make time for us. I've tried to contact Rand Paul's office on the health care information for a long time. doesn't have time to come on the radio, folks. He's just too busy. Just too busy playing baseball to come on the radio, see? All right, media startups try lower-cost model. They're turning to unpaid student writers. You might call them interns. You might call them whatever you like. I think that they ought to give college credit to these youngsters. And I think interns or apprenticeships are phenomenal opportunities. So good for the media startups trying new ways to reduce the cost of publishing news. That's great news, in my opinion. Great opportunity for folks. Rand Paul and Mike Lee rip into the health care bill. Good for them for doing so. A police cop impersonator got arrested. He used emergency lights, pulled folks over, and everything else. Crazy stuff going on in America, but I guess it'll get worse, huh? All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday, available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. Check it out today. While you're there, please donate. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. All right, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Kurt, I'm seeing a pattern in the Trump administration that I'm not comfortable with. And that is, when we're getting ready to be elected, we're going to just fix everything in the first 100 days. I know it wasn't a realistic idea, but that's the way they pitched it. Man, day one, we're going to do this. By week one, we're going to do that. By month one, by, you know what, within the first 100 days, we're going to have all these things done. And really, hardly anything happened. And I don't blame the Donald exactly for that, because, you know what, it's only realistic that one man can't get as much done as he hopes. But I'm seeing a pattern that's scary to me. So Donald backs out of this, you know, climate accord thing. And he has a big announcement that he's backed out, that, man, we're shutting down that thing. And, you know, the liberals just froth at the mouth and everybody's just going crazy. And, well, then we find out that nothing's really going to happen by law on that till 2020. And we don't even really know if he'll really get out of it. A lot could change between now and then, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to build the wall. And then, by golly, we're going to build the wall. I mean, on day one, we're going to start laying bricks almost. And then we come back and we say, well, we can't really build the wall yet. There's laws against it. Never mind that they've, you know, voted like in 06 to build a fence 10 plus years ago. Then it's like, we're going to build the wall, but, well, golly, now we're waiting for funding from the United States Congress. And then, golly, well, we're going to do that, but, man, maybe next year we'll start if the funding comes through. And then, well, folks, we're already going to get into the election year. They might make a couple of token moves towards building the wall, but it's already going to be the next election cycle before we can even build the wall. So now we're not really going to do the climate accord. We're not really going to do the wall. Now China's planning to back Ford Motor Company and build cars and import to the United States. Donald not saying a thing. We're going to back off prosecuting Hillary and not lock her up. And I'm seeing this pattern of, we talk big. We get a big, huge news pump out of delivering something. But yet, we overpromise and underdeliver to the point of ridiculous. So now Secretary of the Interior, a guy by the name of Ryan Zinke from Montana, right? Or Ryan Zinke, I guess is his name. Z-I-N-K-E. I don't know if you pronounce the E on the end or not. Is it just Zink or Zinke? Maybe Zinke. But anyway, Ryan Zinke, he's from Montana. He got drafted into the Trump administration to be the Secretary of Interior, right? Now, if you ask me, we ought to shut down the Interior Department entirely. It's unconstitutional. Just shut that sucker down. But no, Donald drafted Ryan to be the head of it. Now, Ryan Zinke warns that 1,000 positions in the Bureau of Land Management, so 1,000 employees in the BLM, could be cut by 2018, according to Politico, Kurt. Now, it sounds phenomenal, right?
Yeah, it does. Well, except for, we probably have, what, 180,000 or 200,000 or something
like
that.
Yeah, but see, Kurt, you can't say that. Then it puts it in perspective and you realize it's just a drop in the bucket. But if you say 1,000 jobs, and you don't say will be gone, you don't say
could be gone,
are gone or will be dismissed in the next couple of days or just got dismissed, the pink slips just went out. They say could be gone by 2018. In other words, they're getting this big bang that Donald's just changing the game. Every time there's a news blip, man, this is happening, that's happening. But when you see how many people work for the Secretary of the Interior or work for the Bureau of Land Management, and then you hear that 1,000 jobs could be gone sometime, well, a year away or more, maybe even after the next election happens, Kurt, you kind of go, this is a pattern. We're seeing all these promises, all these ideas, all these news headlines that suggest of something and paint in your mind that, wow, this is going to be happening, it's going to be big. Really, that headline is bogus, Kurt. None of it's true. 1,000 jobs could be gone by 2018. It's a drop in the bucket, as you pointed out, in about 5 seconds at most. Is it even 1%, Kurt? I mean, how many people work for the BLM?
Find out the number.
This is non-news, but they're getting huge.
See, it says 11,000. Says employees for the BLM, 11,621 permanent and 30,860 volunteer. That's according to fiscal year 2012.
So let me get this right. Out of the 40-plus thousand that work for them, three-quarters of them work for an unconstitutional, rogue, criminal government agency by volunteer. Then out of the 11,000, they're going to get rid of maybe a tenth of them by 2018. They could do that. They might, Kurt. If they really work hard, they might get there. Is it going to be like the border wall that's not getting built? Is it going to be like the lock Hillary up that's not even happening? We're not even investigating Hillary hardly, are we? There's talk about it, but there's no real concrete investigative reality in place, is there? Is it going to be kind of like how we're going to get rid of health care? Now we're not even talking about getting rid of health care. Is it going to be the pro-life reality that Donald talked about? Put pro-life judges in place? I haven't seen anything pro-life from Gorsuch or any of the others. Is it going to be kind of like, well, we can't really put the pro-life amendment in the health care repeal bill because it's too controversial and it breaks Senate rules? Is that where we are? See, Kurt, we just talk so big, but we don't get anything done. We've got greater control of the House, of the Senate, of the courts, of the White House than we've ever had before, and we just got two more in our ranks as of special elections. And we're still not even close. In fact, we're passing bills in secret is what we're doing, Kurt. Rand Paul and Mike Lee livid over the health care secrecy. Supposedly, the details will be released today. What do you think, Kurt? Am I making too big of a deal out of this?
Well, it's one of the things I don't remember, and I know this is just me being positive and drives people crazy, but I don't remember Obama ever mentioning anything about any job cuts.
So which is better, to pretend it's happening and kind of lie, or just not even suggest it's happening? In other words, one suggests that you're genuine, that you really want to work on this.
I would say choice C, and that is make it happen.
Amen to that, and that's the part I don't see happening on so many fronts. That's the reason for the warning. Choice A or B are not good options, and I'm not sure which is worse.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. California's Assembly has passed a gun control measure to disarm teachers and staff who are allowed to carry for self-defense. The vote to disarm teachers was 43-23. Five California school districts allowed concealed carry weapon permit holders on campus. The legislator behind the bill said, quote, "A safe learning environment is essential for our children to be successful. That's not possible if a school district allows armed civilians to roam the campus." He did not list any single crime committed by an armed teacher so far. The state of Texas says it wants to open a gold depository. The state plans to repatriate $1 billion in gold bullion now stored in New York. The Texas Bullion Depository will be 60,000 square feet And according to Glenn Hager, the comptroller of the state of Texas, the depository will offer Texans safe, secure, and fully insured storage for precious metals, providing an alternative to depositories largely located in and around New York City. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So I concur with Kurt Crosby that choice C is the best. Choice A, not even talk about job cuts at all in government. That's the Obama plan. Choice B, talk about job cuts everywhere, but not really deliver hardly anything, but get a big bang out of the idea that you're supposedly doing it. But the date that you're doing it and the time that you'll get it done is always further and further and further off. And the amount of cuts end up being a whole lot less than promoted, et cetera, to where it's not really reality. I'm not sure if it's better to not even mention it or to mention it, but not be genuine or not be real or not, you know, get a bang out of nothing. Or C would be to really cut the size and scope of government, which is Kurt Crosby's choice, and I agree. But which is better, Kurt, A or B? Well, I know you're choosing between the lesser of two evils, kind of. Is it better to not do job cuts or lie about them?
Well, I guess I guess
you choose choice C, and I agree.
Yeah, I guess a lie is at least bringing up the idea of the cut, and so I would.
You'd support the lie.
I guess have to do that.
Yeah, Kurt would just lie. That'd be great. So you know, one is we're just going to sell you down the river, and we're just going to grow the size of government. At least they're going to be to your face about it. The other one says we're going to, you know, reduce the size of government, but they're really growing government without telling you. If you don't believe me, I'll give you an example to make the point. There's a group, I don't know how many people have heard of this group, but it's called Waste Watch. And Waste Watch literally has uncovered $300 billion in government waste since its first publication. $300 billion. Now, I saw this headline, Kurt, and I don't even know who Waste Watch really is. But I guess they do like a TV game or whatever. It's like that. And it's like, we're going to, you know how I'm supposed to tell you in some games, I'm going to tell you two truths and then a lie. And you got to determine which one's the truth and which one's a lie. Have you ever played that game, Kurt?
I've heard of it.
We got to help Kurt play some games once in a while. He's too busy working to play games. You know what I mean, people? But we got to help him. Anyway, so you're supposed to tell three things about yourself. Two of them are true, one's a lie, and people are supposed to be able to detect which is which and stuff. Anyway, an example of that, though, is I told you one time that my wife performed at the Super Bowl, and that's an example where it is true. But even Kurt Crosby didn't believe it was true, but I proved it to him, so he knows it's true. But anyway, that's an example where you'd say things about yourself that people wouldn't believe is true, and then you weave a lie in, and you hope to win the game by people getting it wrong. Well, they play a game like that about which government expenditures are so belligerent, so impossible, so extreme, so unfathomable that you wouldn't believe it's true. But then you find out that they did spend money on it, and it is true. And they really talk about this $300, quote, billion dollars in waste, Kurt. Did you find out any more about these guys?
As far as I can tell, Sam, this thing called Waste Watch was started by a guy named Steve Russell. He's a congressman from Oklahoma's 5th District.
Yeah.
And what he's done is it says, as a member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Congressman Russell is proud to release the Waste Watch, which documents 10 different situations where the federal government spent taxpayer dollars or allowed them to be spent unwisely.
Now, here's what
needs
to be done,
this,
Kurt, if we're serious. And I appreciate, you know, Steve Russell doing this. I commend Waste Watch. I appreciate the reporting, and that's great. But until enough media picks up on these reports and delivers it to the American people to realize that we're just stuck on stupid here, we're not going to get anything done. So we need popular support from the people. But secondly, Donald needs to watch this list and literally start prosecuting people for their abuse of government funds. And we need to hold Congress accountable. How does this happen, Kurt? So while Donald's telling you that, oh my gosh, we're cutting 50 bucks here, we're going to lay off this guy here, we're going to... They're losing more money. Remember, I just reported what was it? How many million was it? $28 million on bogus uniforms in Afghanistan. We just wasted that money. Okay? These are examples where they're everywhere, Kurt. In fact, Donald needs to hire or create a commission, a Waste Watch Accountability Commission. And in this Waste Watch Accountability Commission, you get people like David A. Clark Jr., who's the current sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, former sheriff Richard Mack. Get several other people in the media, and you would basically, in this organization, you'd create accountability. You would highlight these things. Then you'd get with the National Taxpayers Union and others to, you know, the National Taxpayers Union puts out reports on government expenditures, and they can tell you ahead of time which bills will create these bogus expenditures in the first place. And then you could, on the front end, report in the media about what's about to happen. And then on the back end, you could report the sellout when it does happen. And then you could create accountability. You could create media members of this commission. You could create accountability, you know, number cruncher, bean counter, you know, members. You could create accountabilities for Congress. But I don't see Donald doing anything about this, Kurt. Is Steve Russell even working with the Donald on this at all? Or is it just a report that gets put out and no one knows about it, no one pays attention to it? Or once in a while we pull something out of it that's strikingly crazy to kind of highlight for a funny headline, but other than that, there's not pay dirt here. How do we work with these people and how do we get something done out of this? But while Donald's running around tinkering around the edges with these tiny changes that mean nothing, they're drops in the bucket, Steve's got a report where $300 billion is wasted. And then people run around and tell me we can't cut government funding anywhere. It's just too hard.
Now, Sam, it looks like on his website, which is russell.house.gov, you could choose a section called Submit a Tip. And, you know, it's not like a tip for your waitress or anything, but it says, as a member of the Oversight...
I'm sure for his next election, he'll take a tip like a waitress, Kurt.
Okay, as a member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Congressman Russell is passionate about exposing government waste, fraud, and abuse to reduce unnecessary federal spending. He publishes his findings and editions of the Waste Watch, which documents 10 different, we talked about that. And then he says, if you're interested in providing documents and or tips about the waste, fraud, or abuse, he gives you an email address, and he says all submitted information will be kept confidential. Now, I have a suggestion, Sam.
I'm liking this. Just think how many solutions we've provided, though, Kurt. I set up a presidential commission, if I had my way, that would dig into these realities and really create accountability for them. Right? Now you've got an idea in addition to that solution.
Well, until there's money in it for somebody to make, you know, whether it's President Trump or all of these different congressmen or you know, even outside citizens, until somebody is going to get some money when something gets done, I think they'll just talk about it. For example, let's just imagine if there was a new program that said, basically, whenever you can find a way that we in the federal, we're just talking about feds here now, not state, you know, county, but you could do the same thing. Then you simply find a way that you say you're Sam, and you say, look, I found a way you guys can save $1 billion a year. And as a result, if, and this is, you know, a monster if, but if the federal government goes ahead and follows your suggestion and saves that $1 billion, then you get 10% of the money. Now,
Kurt, I love the idea. It's phenomenal.
I know,
and Donald could do it tomorrow, couldn't he,
Kurt? Yeah, right. And so could the congressman realize that, hey, you know, they are after cash, most of them, and they do want to get, they want to stand for re-election, so it could help their re-election, offerings, if you will. But, you know, it seems like maybe we ought to put free enterprise to Congress or to government, and maybe we could move this thing off stuck on stupid.
Amen. You know? I think it's a phenomenal idea. It could be done tomorrow. And again, just imagine if you had a commission of some media personnel to make sure that it gets reported right and the new media taking center stage. You had some accountants to dig into it. You had the National Taxpayers Union and basically a literal coalition of people that could work on this, Kurt. I appreciate Steve for doing this. But I'm just telling you, to make it real, it would have to have a commission from the president. It would have to have literal ideas on the table like Kurt's brought forward, like I brought forward. We're just two critical thinkers in the free American think tank here. But just think what could be accomplished. I think your idea is perfect, Kurt. But I just don't see how we're going to get there. I mean, who do you even talk to? Why don't you call Steve? If he wants to come on the radio, talk about it. We're here to support his efforts because I think they're good ones, Kurt. I'm not here to criticize him. Why don't you see if you can get old Steve Russell on the program with us and we can work on this. What do you think?
A great idea, Sam. Mm-hmm.
Think it's going to be happening?
Well, I'll do it in my spare time. I'll get it done just like you do. You know.
All right. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
A lot of things done.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so there you have it. I think Steve Russell did a good job. Congressman out of Oklahoma put together Waste Watch, a group that's found $300 billion in government waste since their first publication. We got to find out when that's been, how long that's been. But Steve Russell, pretty good guy, I think, Kurt. The problem is he's only one guy. The problem is he's probably doing his best. How much can he do all by himself or with a limited staff or limited money or limited support from the people? I'm not here to criticize Steve, but I'm saying, look, we're all doing the best we can. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, it's true, and what's amazing to me is apparently he's been doing these for quite some time, and we've never heard of him. The least on his website at russell.house.gov, it shows reports back to April 2015, and we are in June of 2017. So, you know, this is a couple of years plus that he's been doing this. Apologies. Anyway, the number from the John Birch Society, the newamerican.com Freedom Index, they give him a 58 on a cumulative Freedom Index score. Now, that's way above Nancy Pelosi. It's quite a bit below, you know, like Rand Paul or Mike Lee. Then you've got the Gun Owners of America. Give Mr. Russell from Oklahoma an A-minus. So that's an improvement. I don't know about the National Taxpayers Union. I'll check on that now.
What do you think, Kurt? Anything we can do? When do they make their first publication? $300 billion.
At least what I'm seeing is that it was April of 2015. So is me the number. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, it's not tough to find government waste. It's, it's easily done, you know. And what we got to do is have somebody do something about it. Actually have Congress quit spending wasted money. That's where the, real rubber meets the road. At least in my opinion. You know, as I look at, the NTU, let's see what we can find on the NTU for Oklahoma. That's the National Taxpayers Union, our buddies there. They do rate different gentlemen. Let's see, Steve Russell gets a B-. From the National Taxpayers Union. That's certainly better than, for example, Nancy Pelosi, she doesn't do very well there. What's her score at the National Taxpayers Union, you ask? Let's see what they give her. Well, she gets an F. So, at least he's doing much better than that. We've got to support, these kind of things, at least these kind of movements, or at least these kind of efforts, and hopefully we can bring some light on this Waste Watch kind of idea. I'm going to keep it open and do my best to send them an email. Hopefully we get, some contact with them and move along. Maybe if they take our ideas and on this submit a tip, for all this government waste, if they get citizens involved where they can make some cash by having the federal government save money, maybe we can reverse this whole debt clock thing going down from $20 trillion instead of up, up, up and away, in a related story, which I thought was pretty interesting, there's a movement basically out of the Chicago area you know, where you've got a couple of places that have now suggested they're going to basically do bankruptcy, and you've got Puerto Rico, Venezuela, I think is pretty much there or way past. Now you've got one of our states, and that's Illinois, that this writer from the Chicago Tribune, John Cass, says is Illinois is like Venezuela now, a fiscally broken state that has lost its will to live, although for the moment, he says, we still have enough toilet paper, you know, a little unlike Venezuela. But before, he says, we run out of essentials, let's finally admit that after decade upon decade of taxing and spending and borrowing, Illinois has finally run out of other people's money. Now, what I find very interesting, you could basically put this in the, you could fill in the federal government when we're at $20 trillion, you know, somewhere. And those are the ones we know about. You've got all those unfunded mandates that, you know, add up to, I don't know, 70, 80 trillion, whatever the number is. This writer for the Chicago Tribune back about Illinois says, but before we run out of essentials, let's finally admit that after decades upon decades of taxing and spending and borrowing, Illinois has finally run out of other people's money, and those other people include taxpayers who've abandoned the state, and now Illinois faces doomsday. So, as the politicians, he says, meet in Springfield this week for another round of posturing and gesturing and blaming, we need a plan. And he says, this writer for the Chicago Tribune, here it is. Dissolve Illinois. Decommission the state, tear up the charter, whatever the legal mumbo-jumbo, just end the whole dang thing, he says. We just disappear with no pain, that's right, you heard me. The best thing to do is to break Illinois into pieces right now. Just wipe us off the map, cut us out of America's heartland, and let neighboring states carve us up and take the best chunks for themselves. The group that will scream the loudest is the state's political class, he says, who did this to us, and the big bond creditors who are whispering talk of bankruptcy and asset forfeiture to save their own skins.
You like this idea, Kurt?
Author, well, this author for the Chicago Tribune has a, well, I think he has some points here, and you know,
yeah,
he
but
says,
here's the
but
deal.
Our
Do you
beloved
like this idea.
What I like is the idea of getting out of debt. And, you know, you could do the Dave Ramsey idea and turn things around.
Yeah, but this idea is not the Dave Ramsey. This idea is to basically carve it up, give it to others, give the land to other states, and then just simply dodge the debt, not pay it at all.
Well, but, you know, the part that you got to agree with is that this guy sees that the inmates are running the asylum. And there is... No, I mean, he is expecting continued spending, waste, and, you know, losses, or in other words, an eventual bankruptcy. And he says, hey, you know, since our neighboring states are doing better, he says, taking Illinois jobs and businesses and Illinois workers and tax-paying families, they might just as well take the rest of Illinois, too. And he says, Wisconsin can have Chicago and begin calling it South Milwaukee. Now, I like, you know how you've got Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah,
you know,
so
remember
if it's a tongue-in-cheek idea that he's saying to kind of make the point that, you know what, we got the, you know... criminals running the asylum. You know what? I agree with him.
Yeah.
When it comes to chopping it up, though, and giving pieces to other states that are basically right behind on the bankruptcy schedule, I'm not so sure that's a great plan.
I think the Dave Ramsey
plan that you're pointing out, which is absolutely cut up the credit cards, which is what, you know, and so the equivalent would be no more government spending, I mean borrowing, and literally the plan to safely ground the plane. In other words, the 15 principles to the proper role of government that former Secretary of Agriculture Ezra Taft Benson wrote and others would be the answer. So I agree that if we're going to do tongue-in-cheek and we're going to kind of joke but yet make a poignant point, I agree with the author here. At the same time, though, I kind of say, look, we got to make sure we don't go down the wrong roads. And we can't dodge the debt. In other words, we need to try to keep as many promises as we made. I realize some of them are unsustainable. A lot of times when a big company declares bankruptcy, you do a Chapter 13. As opposed to a 7. You know, depending on if you're personal or business. The goal is to try to pay back as much as you can and make people as whole as you can, given that you may not be able to do it perfectly. That's what we need to do here. So your idea of the Dave Ramsey plan is a perfect one. The same thing that can work for individuals and families, Kirk, can work for government. You're spot on.
Yeah, but I talked to the Dave Ramsey people lately, Sam, and even though when you call them, they have a choice, you know, their automated system has a choice of government, you know, a government choice. What they really mean is if they're going to present the, you know, what's called the Financial Peace University idea to people, and they will present it to, say, like a sheriff's office or, you know, other government agencies, and they'll give them a special break, like a lower price for those kind of people. They don't really have a plan that is in place that says, hey, this is for your local government that can be out of, well,
yeah,
anyway,
what they're saying is they
control.
Don't need a special plan. What they're saying is the principles that Dave Ramsey teaches works. So you cut out the credit card,
yeah,
is what he tells individuals, right?
That's right. Good
and
point.
So you basically quit borrowing. That's the equivalent. The point, yeah, of cutting up your credit cards is so you cannot increase your debt burden. And so not borrowing is the equivalent. So I can basically in about 30 seconds put in place the principles on an individual basis. The next thing is the snowball effect that Dave Ramsey talks about. Okay, I don't know everything about this, but I've studied his program and I agree with almost all of it. And the next idea is to do the snowball effect. So government can get out of debt by taking on its smallest debts, paying them off as quick as possible, and then applying the money that was used for the smallest debt to the second smallest debt. You put the two monies together, if you will, that you were paying on both of them to the second one until it's paid off. And then you take the first two monies and the third money and apply it to the third debt and so on until you're out of debt. It is one of the fastest ways to get out of debt. Dave Ramsey's right. By the way, Marvin J. Ashton back in the 70s wrote about the same principle, so it's not new, but it absolutely works. Both of them are spot on with regards to how to do this, and it works for government too. It can work for anybody or any organization anywhere. Debt-Free Prosperity is a book written about this very topic as well that's phenomenal. So let's talk about this next hour, Kirk, because I think you're on to something. Illinois melting down. Authors writing about it. There are solutions, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, we declare. This nation shall endure.